Ah, Jim Croce. Gotta love Jim Croce. It's Nick DiGiulio and Ian Schur. He is editor-at-large from CNET.com. We have him on to talk about tech, and let's get him in here. Hi, Ian.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm all right. How you holding up with all this craziness?
Well, you know, best I can, really. Yeah. It's been quite a wild ride, as it has been for everybody.
Yeah. Well, how are things going over at CNET? You guys are still writing stuff and sending it in and all that kind of stuff. I know you guys are covering things from home now, right? But CNET is still up and running.
Oh, yeah, we are absolutely up and running. And what's been really fascinating, you know, we're the world's largest tech news site. And one of the things that we've found really fascinating about this whole pandemic is how much of a role tech plays in it, whether it's the various characters like Mark Zuckerberg, the CEO of Facebook, or Jack Dorsey, the CEO of Twitter, you know, putting a lot of money into
Hold on a second. Let me put you on hold for a second, Ian, okay? Yeah, he's breaking up. So can we get him on a different line or a different phone or something like that? Okay, Ian Schur is with us. Let me just go to this Google story here. Just as we get Ian back on. I don't know if you guys have gone to Google or Googled anything. You should. You should check it out because Google Doodle, as you know, when the logo is up, they sometimes customize it. Usually they customize it to mark an anniversary or something or a birthday of a certain person. As the coronavirus continues to ravage populations around the earth with more than 1.3 million cases confirmed, millions of people are self-quarantined at home in a global effort to check the virus's spread. And still a rare breed of people selflessly go about their daily lives offering aid to those infected and helping maintain a sense of order while the rest of us shelter in place. Well, Google is honoring these heroes this week with a series of appreciation doodles. The tech giant frequently livens up its bare-bones search page with artwork that draws attention to notable people, events, holidays, and anniversaries. And Google turns the spotlight on doctors and sanitation workers and custodians, people who are out there. And if you check out the logo, it's really cool. If you're going to Google something, it's really cool. We got Ian back. Ian, how are you?
Hopefully better. We'll see.
Yeah, no, that sounds pretty good. Okay, Ian, this Google Doodle story is kind of fun, right?
I mean, look, Google's always played around with their doodles as long as I can remember. And one of the things that they've done a lot lately in the midst of all of this stuff is that they have been getting involved in trying to draw attention to various doctors and experts who are involved in this. And then, of course, they're also trying to kind of, you know, identify the people who have been the unsung heroes here, right? So among them are obviously the police and firefighters who have made a big deal here, the doctors, of course, and the nurses, but also the sanitation workers, right? And the people who really have been trying to make sure that things keep going around, even though we're all staying at home.
Yeah, yeah, and I think they deserve credit for that, you know. Those are the people that are keeping stuff on. My dad, by the way, works at a grocery store bagging groceries. Wears the mask, wears the gloves, stays 6 feet away from the customer, bags the groceries, helps people out, and he does it, like 4 or 5 nights a week. And I think that that's great. All the people that are working in grocery stores, stocking the shelves to make sure that we have stuff that we need in our home. And all of the we pay tribute to the truckers out there every night. And so it's really nice that Doodle is doing that, or Google is doing that. And I think that Doodle Googles are really, you know, they always are fun. I like the animated ones where you can click on it to tell us a little story and all the animations that pops up.
Yeah, there's actually been a lot of really nifty ones out there, including sometimes they've had a video game that they've put in there. So that's always been a little cute. I mean, Google is always, that's part of their brand, right? Is to be kind of silly and also a little more kind of human in a way, which is funny when you think about what Google is and all the politics around it. But this is one of those things where people enjoy it.
Yeah. And you know what? We need some light stuff right now. You know what I mean? Even little things like that, put a smile on your face, take your mind off of what's going on right now a little bit, you know?
Oh, I could absolutely use it without question.
No question about it. No question about it. By the way, how's your baby?
She is doing fantastic. She has, she's starting to eat solid food. So, you know, we're living with that. And she moves around a lot by, she has not learned to really crawl or walk. She's only 8 months old, but
yeah.
She, for some reason, has really gotten into twisting and rolling her way everywhere. So she'll get around a room, but she's doing it in the most odd way I've ever seen. But she's having fun. She's smiling and laughing all the time, so I'm not arguing.
That's good. That's good to hear. Really good to hear. Real quick, just for people who might not be familiar with CNET, tell everybody about CNET.com.
Yeah, so we're the world's largest tech news site. We do a ton of reviews of products. So, you know, the next iPhone or which of the watches you should buy or whatever. You know, we do a ton of TV reviews. In fact, we're really famous for that, and headphone reviews. So that's one thing we do. But we also cover the news of the world, and we cover a lot of how tech is impacting our lives, which is what my job is there, really, to talk about how our culture and how our politics and how our use of, you know, how we interact with the world is changing as a result of the way technology works.
Yeah. Well, it's a great website. You guys do a fantastic job covering all of that. Now you do. Russ sends in a text here that says, Nick, can you ask your CNET guy what he thinks of consumer cellular service, please? My wife and I are thinking of switching over from AT&T.
Yeah. So, you know, all of these kind of smaller, people out there. So there's Consumer Cellular. There's another one called Ting, T-I-N-G, which is pretty popular. A bunch of them out there. And what they do, the way they make their money, is that they actually lease use of the regular cell carriers. So they are still using AT&T or Verizon or Sprint or T-Mobile, although now Sprint and T-Mobile are one and the same.
Right.
But they're using one of those airwaves, and what they do is they buy in bulk access to it, and then they sell it to people for a different price. And they're hoping that they can make up the difference by buying in bulk and then making a little bit of profit. These things are pretty popular. I mean, there's a bunch of them out there. I have personally not used U.S. Cellular, but generally speaking, they're all pretty good. The big question you have to ask yourself is, first off, are you okay with their rules, right? For example, Ting charges you by the megabyte and by the minute. So if you're not using your phone a lot, it's awesome.
Yeah,
but if
yeah.
you use it a ton, you might not come out well. The other thing is also coverage. You need to make sure the coverage maps are good for you. That's a big one. So make sure that you're good in those two areas. And if you are, go right ahead. And the worst that will happen, if you don't like them, you switch back. No yeah. biggie.
Okay. All right. There's some advice. Thank you for that, Ian. Ian Schur is with us, editor in charge and large at CNET.com. 312-981-7200. If you have a tech question of any kind, call or text us at 312-981-7200. So there's an article at CNET that you actually put out there. It seems a lot of people are playing video games during the lockdowns. What's going on?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been crazy. Like, one of those, I mean, it makes a lot of sense, right? People are watching a lot of Netflix, too. I could talk about the Tiger King all day long. But the thing is that what's been really interesting is that games like Fortnite, and then there's another one that just recently came out from Activision called Call of Duty Warzone. These two games in particular have become huge draws for people. And they were popular before, but they really draw. So, for example, Call of Duty Warzone came out just as all of the lockdowns were happening. They saw their usership jump to like 16 million people inside of a couple of days.
Wow.
Which is unbelievable. And we're also seeing that from the carriers, right, the actual internet service providers, they say that game usage is spiking significantly. And there's another example for you. There's a game that came out from Nintendo called Animal Crossing New Horizons. If you haven't heard of this, there's a whole section of the internet devoted to it. It's a very simple kind of build your own ideal world type game, right? So think of Farmville, but a little less annoying. And one of the things about it that's been really interesting is, of course, it's a very, you know, kind of go with the flow, easy game. It has become so popular during this whole thing. You know, of course, get away from all the awfulness out there, that it has been breaking sales records left and right. So another example. And I've even heard stories of people who had to cancel their wedding having a kind of get together with friends in the game, which we've heard these things before, but especially during this, it's pretty it resonates pretty well. And there's even someone whose family member died who was a fan of the game, So they created a little memorial for them in the game. So there's all sorts of stuff that's happening in the game world that people are using to socialize because we can't go outside.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty neat. Now, Tom, you were shaking your head at the mention of this game. Have you played it?
Yeah, I have quite a bit.
And it's called what again?
Animal Crossing.
Okay. Yeah. And what do you think of it? What's the deal with it?
I mean, it's really nice to do something that doesn't involve any sort of violence, any sort of bad feelings, anything like that. It's just pure pastoral bliss.
Okay.
You just like catch bugs and pick fruit.
That's basically what you do. Wow.
Yeah. I literally do it for hours.
For hours. That's how you're killing.
Which is probably what you would do if you were on your own island, right?
Yeah. That sounds kind of fun. Well, I'm not surprised. I mean, this isn't surprising, Ian, you know, that people are staying in and they're just playing a lot of video games. And, you know, and you mentioned Netflix. People are watching a ton of Netflix now. And the other streaming services are probably at the, you know, they're probably at their height right now, you would say.
Well, we're starting to see a lot of data that indicates they're doing really well. Now, I wouldn't assume that they're going bananas. And the reason I bring that up is that, you know, one of the things going on is that you would assume, for example, that Target and Costco would be going just crazy and having amazing sales because they are big box retailers and they are places that people are flocking to in the middle of all this. Well, we just heard that their sales are actually not as good as everyone thought they would be. Mm. And I think that it's going to be interesting to see what the streaming data comes along as well. You know, that Europe was already kind of ringing alarm, saying a number of European countries were asking Netflix and YouTube and Hulu to reduce the quality of their streams so that they wouldn't impact the internet as much as they do, which is it's just a crazy idea, but they do represent a lot of internet traffic. So that might mean that people are not watching as much. So I'm really curious to see what it comes down to. But, you know, without question, there are some things that stand out. Like, I'm sure we'll find out in a couple of weeks that The Tiger King was one of the most popular documentaries Netflix ever had and stuff like that, right? But that doesn't mean that it's going ridiculously large like the video game industry has been just because people are locked inside.
Yeah, you know what's funny, Ian, is if my news feed is any indication, everybody I know watched that Tiger King. Like, it was just...
I mean, it came up during the White House briefing today. Which, you know, in normal circumstances would be really funny. It's a little weird in the middle of a pandemic.
Yeah.
But yes, it's everywhere. It's crazy.
Yeah. So, all right, Ian, hold on, okay?
Yeah.
Okay, Ian Schur is with us. He is editor-at-large for CNET.com, which is a great tech website. We've got more tech stories to get to. And... 312-981-7200 is the phone number if you have a tech question or a tech story that you would like to share with us. 312-981-7200. More with Ian Schur right here on 720 WGN.
Chaco says yes, and I believe him when we talk about the things I say. She hasn't got the faith or the guts to leave him when they're standing in each other's way. You're tripping back now to places you've been to. You wonder what you're gonna find. But it won't be long before you leave them all far behind. Cause it's the new Mother Nature taking over. It's the new Splendid Lady come to call. It's the new Mother Nature taking over.
Nick DiGilio here. How are you? Live from the Skyline Studio, downtown Chicago, here on 720 WGN, here till 4 a.m. We're talking with Ian Schur. Ian Schur is editor-at-large at CNET.com, which is a great tech website, giving you reviews and keeping you up to date on what's happening in the world of tech. And we talk with Ian once a month. Ian, welcome back.
Hey, how you doing?
Oh, good. We have a text here that says, 815 says, I thought a lot of people were supposed to be working from home, not playing games. Well, there's 24 hours in a day. You're not going to work. You're not going to work 24 hours straight. If you work 8 hours a day, there's still a lot of time that you're stuck in the house. So yeah, you can work and play games later.
That's right. And also, I have a friend who's very proud of the fact that he works 8 hours worth of work and then gets to have life after that. So you know, maybe he gets his work done in 6 hours. Doesn't mean he hasn't done 8 hours worth of work. So you know, I've seen it all over the place. I'm certainly, as someone who covers video game culture and has been for over a decade. I see a lot of people who still stigmatize it, but a lot of people use it as a way to connect with people these days, and I don't see a crime in that.
I don't either. No, I don't either. Well, you got to, everybody's stuck in the house, and if you can't, you can't leave the house, you do your work from home if you're working from home, but then you've got all these other hours that you have to fill, so, yeah.
So, and there's only so much Tiger King to watch.
That's exactly right. So other things that are happening because of this pandemic, people are really using Zoom a lot. You were talking about how some people are gathering together via the video games and stuff like that. But this big thing seems to be people are getting together by using Zoom. And so you guys put together a piece that describes pretty much every security issue uncovered in the video chat app. Zoom.
Yeah.
So tell us about that.
So, well, we've been hearing a lot. So Zoom has had like a phenomenal month, right? I mean, they have become one of the go-to apps out there. And if you haven't used Zoom, it's essentially a video chat app for a bunch of people, right? So you can get like 50 people on a call, and it's super easy to use. And people just love how simple it is. I mean, my kid's preschool is using it. Like, they're just, everybody's out there using it.
Yeah.
The problem is that as we've all been using it, of course, there's a little bit of a rainy day on everything. And for Zoom, their growth has meant that there has been more scrutiny over how it works. And there's a lot of concern about security. Among them, we've had a thing that's happened called Zoom bombings.
Okay.
Which, if you don't know what that is, it's when people go into a Zoom. So imagine, for example, a school board meeting that's been publicly posted on Facebook or some other type of thing. There's been a number of religious services, particularly Jewish religious services, where people have been getting onto the Zoom.
Yeah.
They find the open link because they posted on Twitter or Facebook because, it's a congregation. And they will go in and suddenly post a bunch of pornography or Nazi swastikas or stuff like that, and basically upset people, right? And a lot of that, people point to Zoom and say, hey, you're not doing enough to make sure that bad behavior isn't happening on your app. So there's been a bunch that we have recommended on CNET for how to protect yourself from being Zoom bombed.
Yeah.
If you are, for example, a member of a congregation or a school, and they're using that, I would highly recommend you go to whoever's in charge of the Zooms and give them a link to CNET and that article so that they know what to do to protect themselves. But in the meantime, there's a lot of pressure on Zoom to make sure that they're protecting people, that they're protecting people's data, that they're doing all that stuff. And right now, they're struggling to keep up.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's because of the demand, you know what I mean? And but yeah, you always have to be careful when you're using that kind of stuff. So what are some of the other details that you guys get into in this article? Because it's a really big article.
It is. It's very long.
Yeah.
Some of the other things that we've learned is that, of course, there are people, because you set up a Zoom account and you can use it, people have found that you can hack into these things, just like people hack into Ring, the same way. So you may have heard that, the Ring doorbells, the video doorbells, had been hacked into a few months ago. They actually weren't hacked into. What people did is they took people's passwords that had been stolen on the dark web. So imagine your email gets hacked or your Adobe account or whatever. And they use that password and they try it everywhere. So they try it on PayPal, they try it on your bank, and now they're trying it on Zoom. And as a result, of course, they're accessing people's Zoom accounts and causing all type of havoc that way.
Wow.
So there's all sorts of little things like that, which, for Zoom, it means making sure that they are doing extra work to make sure that they're protecting people, encrypting data, making sure that they don't turn on your webcam when you don't want them to, stuff like that. And it's a lot of stuff they've got to do to make sure that we are able to be comfortable with them.
Yeah. I'm looking at this, and it says... daily meeting participants on the platform surged from 10 million in December to 200 million in March. That's massive.
It's incredible. I'm surprised it still works. I mean, that kind of growth is nearly unheard of.
Yeah.
And by the way, for those who are wondering, well, what about other apps out there? There's a bunch of other ones out there, too. Microsoft Teams, which most people have access to for free because they have a Microsoft account. And they're probably paying for Office. That is also seeing a huge bump in users. The competitors from Google are also seeing a bunch of bump in users. They're signing up 2 million people a day on Google's video chat app. So it's everyone's seeing an enormous growth out of this.
Yeah, wow, that's crazy. This article is really great and very informative, and it's available. Zoom, every security issue uncovered in the video chat app, and it's available right now. On you can see it on CNET.com. 312-981-7200. Ian got a text that just came in from the 815 area code. Can you describe Google Duo? Is it easy to install and access? Any issues to be wary of? And that's Rebecca who wants to know.
Sure. So Google Duo is a really interesting app. It's a video chat app. Now, it's worth noting Google has like 15, I'm joking, but it feels like they've got 15 different video chat apps.
Okay.
They've got a bunch of them. They've got Hangouts, they've got Meet, they've got all these different ones, and they have Google Duo. So Google Duo, in theory, sorry, a little cough there, is designed so that you can securely chat with people using video over Google services. They say that it is encrypted and protected, and it's high quality. It's designed to work with phones and computers, and it works pretty much as advertised. You know, we've tested it against FaceTime and a bunch of other stuff, and, you know, it's not as easy to use as FaceTime, obviously, but if you don't have an Apple product, tough luck. You need to use something else, and Google Duo's not a bad choice. It's not really designed to be big group meetings, right? That's where Google Meet or Hangouts or Zoom or one of the other ones out there is designed for. This is really meant for if you want to chat with friends and family, just like WhatsApp and FaceTime and a bunch of those other ones.
Okay. All right. Okay, Rebecca, there you go. That's Google Duo. We got Mark here on WGN. Hi, Mark.
Yeah, I'm an audiophile, and I have owned three of the phones with front-facing stereo speakers, two HTC phones, and my present phone is a Google Pixel 2 XL, and I don't have unrealistic expectations. I don't expect those little speakers to do what the big speakers in a full stereo system can do, but I'm frankly astonished at how good they can sound being so tiny, and I'm thinking that it has to be either some equalization or the materials the speakers are made of, or maybe a little bit of both, but can you explain that a little further?
Sure. So there's a couple of things going on. You're in luck. I've spent quite a bit of time talking to Dolby over the years, so I know way more about this than I should. So what's going on is that Dolby, which is a company, by the way, you may have, if you've gone to the theaters and whatnot, you see their logo there. They create a bunch of software and hardware that makes a lot of the audio technology work these days. And they're in our computers, they're in our tablets, they're in our TVs, all over the place. So their software has a part to do with this, right? They have designed some software that is really able to just blow off a lot of the sound that we used to have. So I actually got a demo before they put out one of their versions where they had a phone, and it, you know, the sound sounded a little tinny. It wasn't that great. And then they used their software, and suddenly it sounded like it was a whole different speaker. So part of it is software. The other thing also is that there's actually, if you look inside the speakers for these things, there are these little packet gel things that are really interesting. And what they do is that they've designed these things so that they can actually throw sound all around the room in a way that it sounds way bigger than it is. And it's really interesting physics that get into it. Honestly, physics I'm not fully wrapped my head around. But what it comes down to is that it's able to sound like it's almost surround sound, even though it's coming right out of a phone. And this is something that, especially the last couple of generations of phones, they've really put a lot of effort into. So you find, for example, the iPhones, one of the things that they advertise about is that they use both the headset on the top and the speakers on the bottom to be able to send sound in stereo so that it sounds like it's really high quality. Samsung's doing this too. As you mentioned, Google's been doing it. So it's something that you're seeing more and more of because people realize that a lot of people are watching YouTube videos and movies from their phones, whether or not Hollywood likes it, and they have to provide a really good experience.
Yeah, wow, that's great. Mark, thank you for the call. That's really impressive what they're doing, Ian, you know?
Yeah, it's really, and it's only getting better. I mean, it's really fascinating the laws of physics that are being bent here to make sound work this way. And by the way, it's not just with our phones. there's a lot of technology we've covered on CNET to make it so that you've got surround sound systems at home without having to buy all of the speakers now. And it's a lot of really fascinating stuff that has to do with bouncing sound off the walls in certain ways, designing the speakers in certain ways. It's really just fascinating stuff.
Yeah, amazing. Okay, Mark, again, thanks for the call. 312-981-7200. Ian, hold on. Ian Schur is with us. He is from CNET, editor-at-large, CNET.com, a great, great tech website that you should check out. We got more tech stories to get to, and we can take your calls and texts as well if you have questions. 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. We'll continue here on 720 WGN. Yeah, the Dan. Gotta love the Dan. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Nick DiGilio here. Coming up after 1 o'clock, our buddies Joe Brand and Chris Bowden from WGN Sports, co-hosts of Blackhawks Crazy Podcast here at WGN, are going to join us. We're just going to update, you know, what's going on with the NHL, what's going on with the Blackhawks during this crisis. And we'll talk a little hockey as well. The news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. We are currently talking with Ian Schur, who is the editor-at-large at CNET.com, which is a great tech website. And if you have any questions tech-related, 312-981-7200. Okay, Ian. Wow. Disney Plus, huh? Man.
No kidding, right? Talk about streaming. They have grown significantly. So Disney, when Disney first announced Disney Plus, they said this thing was going to be the new future of the company. And when a company as large as Disney says something like that, you got to stand up and take notice.
Yeah.
And when it came out, everyone was like, okay, let's see how big this gets, right? It was way cheaper than Netflix. It was really going after them. It had that Mandalorian TV show,
right,
which was just a real popular show. If you're a Star Wars fan at all, I mean, Baby Yoda was everywhere.
Yeah, Baby Yoda is still everywhere.
Yes. So I'm just waiting for the Tiger King Baby Yoda crossover. So what's really fascinating is that Disney has been able to surpass 50 million subscribers in 5 months. That's 50. That's about a third the size of Netflix. And you have to think for a moment. Netflix started streaming in 2007.
Yeah.
It took 13 years to get to where it is today, and Disney did that in just 5 months.
It's nuts.
Now, it is worth noting that Disney is doing this in part by giving its stuff away for free. I, for example, just moved to Maryland from San Francisco. I got a year of Disney Plus for free along with my internet. So I am counted as a quote-unquote subscriber. But the real question will be, when I'm done, whether I'm still paying. And that's the real question we're all going to be looking for, is that after Disney's done, you know, wooing us all in and giving us free access and all of that, will we stick with it? And by the way, Disney's not alone. We're also asking the same questions about Apple and Quibi and all these other ones that are out there. But with Disney, I mean, if they keep on rolling with stuff like The Mandalorian and coming out with these, you know, Frozen 2 months earlier than planned, I think they're going to have a lot of fans.
Yeah, I mean, those are crazy numbers. Crazy numbers. And you know, my producer Tom, you have Disney Plus. Are you enjoying it?
I mean, yeah, for the most part. I watch it a little bit less than my girlfriend does. I basically pay for it for her, cuz
yeah.
I watch it a little bit. She watches it a lot.
Does she watch, what does she do? Does she have things that she specifically likes to watch?
All the classic Disney movies and the stuff that was on Disney Channel when we were kids. So there were a lot of TV movies that are really hard to find.
Yeah.
Unless you have this. So if you're in that millennial generation,
yeah,
you're seeing a lot of stuff that you have not seen since you were like 8.
That's fun. Do they have those terrible live action 70s movies?
Yeah, was it
like no deposit, no return? You got the Apple Dumpling Gang.
They definitely have the Apple Dumpling Gang.
You got to look for some of those other terrible ones. You have to. I mean, because they're
throwing everything they can at it, let me tell you.
Yeah, and by the way, you know, you should go back. I know you're a fan of Kurt Russell. You should go back and watch some of the Kurt Russell Disney movies.
Was it The Computer That Wore Tennis Shoes?
Computer That Wore Tennis Shoes, The World's Strongest Man. He did like five of them. So those are always fun to go back and watch. So, all right. Among the coronavirus, what's happening right now, there are hacking threats, and agencies are warning us about that. Tell us about that, because you know what? These people who do this have no conscience, and during a crisis like this, they'll take full advantage of it. Hackers don't care. They don't have a heart, and they will do whatever they can.
You're right about that. So in general, what we've been learning, especially talking to people like the UK's National Cybersecurity Center and the US Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, say that three times fast, they have all been saying, look, there is a real threat from hackers who are basically betting on us being really anxious, distracted, and easily duped into stuff. So examples are, for example, a number of them are trying to figure out how to get us to click on stuff when we're not supposed to, right? And a lot of us, you know, have started to learn when we're not supposed to click on stuff in email, but when the coronavirus is going on and you get a headline that's crazy, you might click on it. And so that's where a lot of the hackers are starting to get in. Another thing is that hackers are also targeting a lot of the ways that we are trying to work around being stuck at home. So, for example, Microsoft warned a bunch of hospitals recently that the VPN software, virtual private network, that's the way that you're able to access your work network from home and keep it secure, that a lot of hackers are targeting these VPN softwares because, of course, hospitals are hospitals. They're not IT centers, so they're not as good about keeping their software up to date, making sure that it's secure, all that stuff, because they're busy keeping people alive.
Yeah.
And as a result, hackers are taking advantage of that. So there's a bunch of those types of things where we're starting to see it's a real problem. And unfortunate, as you point out, a lot of these people, they're just heartless. They're trying to go after stuff. And I'm frankly surprised we haven't heard of a hospital having all their systems taken over by a hacker yet, because it feels like that would be the time that this would happen. But so far, it seems as though the hospitals are doing a good job keeping themselves safe, because it's not because the hackers are taking a holiday.
Yeah, that's true. That's really true. And then there is other advice on being very, very careful when you're online. And I mean, the whole thing about clicking onto things, you should never do that, even in a situation like this.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we at CNET have a long list of things you should always be doing to keep yourself safe. But among them is obviously make sure you know where you're clicking all the time. And the other thing is that, you know, there's a lot of stuff that we've learned how to spot suspicious email stuff, suspicious scams and ransomware. So one of the things that we really kind of recommend is that you just get good at learning what these things look like. And there are a bunch of tools we have on CNET to help you learn that stuff, but it's really valuable. And of course, especially for elderly folks who unfortunately are the ones who are really impacted by all this, because they are being isolated more than anyone in some cases because they are the most at risk, they are looking for any social outlets, and the internet unfortunately offers a lot of dangerous ways to do that.
My dad goes online pretty frequently, but he knows not to click onto anything. He really is cautious about where he goes online and all that stuff.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. One last story here. Google is using location data to show if people are social distancing amid the outbreak. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, this is really fascinating. This is one of those Google showing what they can do things. And it, depending on where you sit on this, you either find it super creepy, super cool, or a big PR stunt. Okay. I don't know where I sit personally.
Okay.
But what they're doing is that they're showing that they're using data that they collect from our phones all the time. Right, if you've got a Google app on your phone like Google Maps or Gmail or whatever, they're usually getting your location data from that. So what they did is they aggregated it all together, and then they anonymized it, and they showed us a map of the country. And you can see this. You can go to Google's website. We have a link to it on CNET for where it is on their site. And one of the things that they'll show you is which countries are doing better or worse about being social distancing, staying at home, reducing their movement. And, of course, because it's Google Maps, they know when we're going to a bar versus staying at home and all that type of stuff. So there's really interesting reports in there And of course, there's a lot of stuff that makes sense, right? For example, that, you know, places like Italy have significantly reduced their movements. There's stuff on all the 50 states, so you can see, you know, which states are doing poorly. I'm not going to name any of them because there's a lot of politics in that. But there's a lot of really interesting stuff in there. The problem, of course, that a lot of critics will say is, well, this data is kind of interesting, sure, but what do we actually learn from it, right? Other than, you know, some places are not adhering to this, which we knew before, and other places are doing better, which we also knew before. So I don't know, but it's interesting.
Yeah, it certainly is. And boy, Google's all over the tech stories this week.
I mean, they're everywhere. And look, I mean, part of it is that Google and Apple and everybody wants to be on the positive end of what's going on here, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you gotta give them credit where credit's due. They realize that in the middle of a pandemic, people suddenly forget about Cambridge Analytica and all the hacking scandals and all the privacy concerns and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I could go on forever about, right? Yeah. And, you know, that's the thing, is that they are trying to say, okay, let's do some good, because we've been spending years being beat up all the time. And I got to give them credit for at least trying.
Yeah, absolutely. Donna sends in a piece of advice via text. I received a fake Walmart email promising $150 for being a loyal customer. Didn't click, but people should be on the lookout.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the thing is, if it ever sounds too good to be true, I'm sorry, it really is. It always is. And one of the things that you can protect yourself with is that when you click on something, and if you did it by accident, just look in the URL bar and make sure it is exactly what it should be. Sometimes people try to trick you by getting, like, walmartwith2t's.com and convincing you that way. Just read and make sure that you're going to the site you're supposed to. That's the number one way you can stop these people.
Absolutely. Okay, what are you guys working on now at CNET that we can see in the coming days?
Yeah, so a lot of what we're trying to do is we're actually looking at how the coronavirus is impacting our finance. You know, one of the things we're really looking at is that it is, you know, a lot of people are anxious now that we're technically in a recession, and they're looking at how can I get my $1,200 check
right.
from the government if I even get it.
Right.
So we have a lot of tools on CNET, even though we're not a finance website. We actually, you know, you're applying for it online. You're organizing your finances online.
Right.
You're connecting with different companies online. There's even apps out there now to help you with trying to deal with if you have to delay paying for utility bills.
Right.
So all those things we're actually connecting with you with on CNET. So
good.
We're trying to both help you learn how the technology is impacting you and ways that you can use technology to your benefit in these trying times.
Outstanding. All right, Ian, you guys do a great job, and thanks for joining me.
Of course. Thanks for having
me.
Take care.
Stay safe. All right. There's Ian Schur, everybody. CNET.com is the website. Okay. We got the news coming up.